Praise the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 35. Surround me. Deuteronomy 4, 35. Let me say first, I appreciate the church letting me or allowing me or no, I'm not in the first part of the services. I've been teaching this wonderful group right here of young people. I'm making some headway, right? I'm enjoying teaching them. And so I'm going to continue on for a while. And so if I'm not in here in the first part, that's where I'm at. Deuteronomy 4:35, unto thee it is shewed or shown that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else beside him. Would you say that with me? There is none else beside him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he shewed thee his great fire. Shewed thee his great fire, that thou heardest his voice out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved thy fathers, because he loved your dad and your mom, therefore he chose their seed after them and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt to drive out nations from before thee greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance as it is this day. Know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart that the Lord he is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. There is none else. Say that with me. There is none else. I want to preach above all else. Above all else. Lord, I come before you this morning. I'm thankful. Hallelujah, that the sun is shining. Hallelujah, the S-O-N is shining in our lives today. Hallelujah, you are the light that lit up the world. It lights up a man's life, that if he would follow the light, he'll find eternal life. We're thankful, Lord, for what you're doing this day in the hearts of men and women. You're still dealing with them and putting conviction upon people that they want to repent of their sins and come to Christ. We ask that you be with us today. Anoint this word as it is already anointed, but anoint our ears that we might hear and do the word of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. God showed Israel, which Israel was collectively the sons of Jacob, right? They were the 12 sons or become the 12 tribes of Israel. These were the sons of Jacob. And he showed Israel his mighty acts so that there would be no confusion about who God was. There would be no confusion because in the land during that day, they had many gods. Can I tell you there's more gods today than there was then? Oh, I could name some gods we have today that they didn't have back then. Oh, I better not. We got visitors. I better behave. And so he wanted there to be no confusion that in heaven and in earth, I'm it. I'm it. There's nothing else beside me. There's nothing above me. Everything is beneath me. Everything is under me. Hallelujah. I am over everything. Every power, he said, that be principality or power is ordained of God and could not be if God did not allow it. So out of heaven, he made them to hear his voice and to the children of Israel. And he made even Moses to hear his voice out of the fire upon earth. And he spoke to them out of the midst of the fire and from heaven that they might know and not be confused that you don't serve those gods, the little g's. You serve the one only true and living God. And not because he loved them so much. Did you catch that in the scripture? Did you catch that? It wasn't because he loved them so much, because he said this generation is bent on backsliding. They can't get it right. But I love their dad so much, and I love their God of Abraham. Notice it was the God of Abraham, it was the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then that was it. And Jacob was later turned his name to Israel. So they became the children of Israel. He said, it's not because I love you so much, the children. It's because I loved your dad so much. And I loved your dad's dad. And I loved your dad's grandpa. I loved all of those patriarchs. You know why? Because they loved me above all else. Yeah, they loved me like you don't love me. They gave their lives for me. They loved me above all the land and all the things that I could offer them or the world could offer them. They loved me above all else. And so I'm going to bring you into the land, not that you walked out, but your grandpa walked out. I'm going to bring you to the land 400 years ago that great-grandpa walked out, and he walked and he trusted me because he loved me above, help me, all else. And when I called him, he just left. He said, I'm leaving my kindred, I'm leaving my stuff, I'm leaving everything, and I'm just going to go for it, look for a city whose builder and maker is God, because this ain't it where I'm at. There's got to be something better than this. There's something else. And I love the what I heard from heaven, that voice I heard from heaven above all else. And so he goes and he sojourns in a land and he walks for 400 years through the depth of it and the breadth of it and the width of it, not knowing that he himself would never be the one to go live in it. It would be his children's children's children, the children of Israel that would go live in there. And he said, I'm bringing you into the land that Abraham walked out, and I'm going to give it to you for an inheritance. Not because you love me so much, but because he loved me above all else. And so did Isaac, and so did Jacob. Jacob, I've said many times, tried to get a legitimate thing in an illegitimate way. He wanted the things of God. He desired the things of God. And so God said, I love him. He might not be doing it right, but I love him because he wants the things of God. And he went and got it above. He did whatever he had to do because he wanted that above all else. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Paul said it this way in Colossians. He says, above all things, above all else, put on charity, which is the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. Any of y'all know what plywood is or veneer? You know what that is? Take the glue out and see what happens. You can't even use it. It's worth nothing. Without charity is the glue. It's the bond of perfectness. And if you take love out of a marriage, they start coming unglued. You take love out of relationships, it comes unglued. And anything that comes unglued won't hold. And they start separating. And so he said, and let the peace of God rule your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. See, that bond of perfectness. So that, brother, I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I don't love you above them. God so loved what? The world. Not the saints. Not the righteous. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved everybody the same. That bond of perfectness. And above all else, when he would talk to them about being his disciples, he would tell them, you got to love me above all else. With all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, you got to love me above all else. God loved Abraham because Abraham did love him above all else. And once Abraham had received the promised child, and we're going to have a great dedication today. I hope you get to stay. It's going to be good. Abraham had received this promised child, Isaac. You would think the story was over, right? I mean, the story would say, you're going to have a child in your old age, and you're going to, you know. Well, once he got the son, and once he had the baby, you know, then I got it, right? But then he says, I want you to offer it. Well, now, wait a minute. You promised me that this son was a promised child and he'd be the father of many nations. And if I slay him, I got to start over again. But watch what happens. Will you stay with me this morning? Genesis 22 and 1. And it came to pass after these things. We don't have time to talk about these things. That God did tempt Abraham. He tried him and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. He's asking him to leave again. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. I would Think about you doing that to your child. And you only had one. It doesn't matter how many I have. I couldn't do it. I just offer your child. Because see, they were used to offering the best to God. They didn't save a scabby lamb on the side and say, well, I'm going to give God that. Now, people do that today. They give God, if they got enough time, they'll go to church. If they got enough time, they'll do, they got an extra money, they'll you know, and they're giving God scabs. I'm sorry, that's what they're doing. That's not how it works. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will be added unto you. And so Abraham was used to offering God the best lamb. They set aside a lamb just for that. And they fed that lamb, they manicured that lamb, they cleaned that lamb because it had a purpose other than consumption by man. It was consumption for God. God is a consuming fire. They burn it up. So he said, I want you to go offer your son to me. So above all else now takes on a new meaning to Abraham. As long as I didn't have him, it was easy to leave my father and my mother and to tell him goodbye and all that. But now, above all else, I've seen God bless people many, many times with so many things, and then they quit serving God. So now, all of a sudden, above all else now means more than money and possessions and dad and mom. It means that boy that you've got. And Abraham, the Bible says, he wasted no time, but he rose up early in the morning and saddled an ass, and he took two young men with him, and he took Isaac his son, and he clave the wood, they split the wood, and got it ready for the burnt offering. They rose up, and they went looking for a place that God had told him of. A certain place. Not any place. A certain place that God had told him of. And the Bible says on the third day, and we don't have time to preach about the third day, but it's interesting that he said on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. It's one thing to see it. It's another thing to get there. If you've ever traveled in mountainous areas, seeing it looks close. Getting there is another thing. And he saw the place on the top of a mountain. He said, that's the place. That's the place. And you know why I know that's the place? It's above all else. It's above all else. It's got to be the place. And Abraham said to the young men, listen close. He looked at the two young men he brought with him. He said, abide ye here with the animals. You stay here. I and the lad will go yonder and we will come again. We will come again unto you. You stay right here with the animals and expect me back. Now that's faith, my friend. That's faith right there. You stay right here. Now don't go far. I don't know how long it's going to take. I hope you brought your lunch. I hope you're not too tired. I hope you got a tent to sleep in. I may be a week. I don't know. But I know this. I'm coming back. I'm coming back. Me and the lad will return like you saw us go. Ooh, that's another message. By faith, he said, we're coming back. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and the Bible says he laid it upon Isaac, his son. It's like a backpack, if you will. He strapped the wood upon his son, much like Christ, the Son of God, had a cross, wooden cross, on his back. And Abraham takes the fire in one hand and a knife perhaps in the other hand. The Bible says these two go up together. And Isaac has the wood and Abraham has the fire and he has the knife. But his little son knew something was wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. Something is wrong, Daddy. Something is wrong. You said we were going to worship, Daddy. You say we're going to worship. See, worship comes from two words, worth and ship. What's it worth? What you offer to God, what's it worth? Here, God, what's it worth? And you can never worship till you give God something that's worth something. David said, I will not offer anything to the Lord that costs me nothing. Worship is all about the value of what you give to that consuming fire. And the little boy said, Daddy, I've seen you do this lots of times. I got the wood, and you got the fire, and you got the knife. But Daddy, where is that sacrifice that we will give our God for a burnt offering? God will provide. No wonder he called that place Jehovah Jireh, which means God has provided. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Don't worry, son. Let's keep walking. We're not to the place yet. I don't know if he got nervous. I'd be pretty nervous, wouldn't you? I'd be pretty nervous. But he had a great comeback to the little boy. He didn't say, it's you, son, it's you. He said, God will provide, because I know this God that I serve above all else. He's always provided. How many of you can say he's a provider? He said, David said, I was young and then I'm old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. He's a provider. So he knew above all else, God will provide something. And Abraham, God will provide, son, us a sacrifice. So the Bible says they two went together and they continued their journey up the mountain. And they came to the place, the Bible says, that God told him of. And there Abraham built an altar there and he laid the wood. Son, give me the wood. Take it off. And he laid it in order as he would to offer any sacrifice. And he said, son, where's that rope you tied that wood with? It's right here, Daddy. And he tied him up. Now, any of y'all 14 years old? 14? Now, Abraham's about 110 or so. I'd run like crazy. Because that old man ain't going to catch you. But he was the God of Isaac, too. He wasn't just because Isaac loved God above. Oh, he loved God, too. And he said, okay, Daddy. And he bound his own son with the rope. And he tied him up. An obedient son. Much like they put Christ on a cross. An obedient son. Submissive to the cross. No man takes my life from me. I give it. And Isaac was willing to give his life. And he put him on that altar that he had made. And now the moment of what? Truth. See, a lot of times people get right down to doing it and then they can't do it. I'm going to live for God this time. They get right down to it. They can't do it. Now it's the moment of truth. And I'm here to tell you, they didn't stab those sacrifices. They cut their throat. They laid them on the altar, cut their throat. He's got his son on the altar. And the Bible says he stretched. It's a stretch to do this. He stretched and he got the knife. And when he got ready to slay his son, God knew he wasn't going to back out. Now listen close. God knew he wasn't going to back out. And when he saw he wasn't going to back out, he said, stop! The angel of the Lord says, hold, stop! Withhold thine hand. Abraham, Abraham, he said, here I am, Lord. That's one time you won't let God know where you're at. I'm right here, Lord. He said, now I know you love me above. Because you haven't withheld your son, that only son. I know now that God loves us above all else. He didn't withhold what he could have saved. And he said, I know now that you fear me, seeing you've not withheld your son from me. And you must love me more than anything else. And you will be the father of the Jewish nation that I will call. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. He's looking one way. He looks up to heaven. And he lifted up his eyes. And behold, behind him was a ram caught, the Bible says, caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went. This old man, I don't even know if you've ever seen a ram before. Can I tell you this real quick? This is kind of off the subject, but it's good. If you can get this YouTube video, my wife showed it to me. I died laughing. It is a ram, an old goat, got horns. It's not a real good video, but it's a big bull that's challenging this ram. and they back up, and a bull must weigh 1,000 pounds. And that ram looked like it weighed about 10 pounds compared to that bull, but probably 100 or so pounds. And they, you know how they do? They back up and then they collide. He hit that bull, and that bull went boop. And the ram gets up like this. Abraham's going to go get the ram out of the thicket. Woo! He's mad old ram in that thicket. But God must have made him submissive. God can take the hardest old sinner, the roughest old person that's trapped in sin, and make him submissive. He looked behind him and he saw this ram caught. And he takes this and he offers this in the stead of his son. Hallelujah. Could I use my imagination for just a few minutes as I wind this down? Do you remember when Jesus called Peter and Andrew? He called them. They were fishing all night, you remember? And caught nothing. Said, "Master, we've toiled all night." You remember that? Okay. Well, when this is their first calling. And so when Jesus comes there, they've been fishing all night. And he says, "Have you caught anything?" And they said, "No, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Okay. Well, he uses the boat. Jesus steps inside the boat. And they launch out a little from the land. Now, you see, it's a good thing they didn't catch anything, because they'd have been occupied with the fish. They'd have been occupied with cleaning. Jesus, we really don't have time to talk to you right now, because, you know, we caught all these fish. But they had caught nothing, so they had a little time on their hands. And Jesus needed a platform and a pulpit. And he said, "Now they fished all night. These are fishermen, right? And caught nothing." And so Jesus steps in the boat, and they push out, and Jesus turns around and talks to those on the land. Right? And when he gets through talking, I don't know how long he preached, and we know nothing he said. But he says, "Bring me back to the shore." He gets on the shore, and he says, "Now, push out a little from the land, perhaps right where I was preaching. I just push out there." He said, "And throw down your nets, and you shall find." And they threw down their nets, and they caught a multitude of fish. That's amazing. They had caught nothing all night, and now it's daytime when you don't catch them at all, because at night's when they would trap the fish, and in the daytime, they catch these fish, a multitude. And it was Peter that said, "Depart from me, for I'm a wicked man." But my point is this: while he was preaching, the fish were coming. While he was preaching, he was calling the fish in to the men. You didn't catch that. He called the fish to the men and not the men to the fish. And so in your life, I don't know what's going on, but let me just tell you this. God may be just stalling while he's calling. He may just be stalling while he's calling. And I said that to go into this. So Abraham, we find, is at the bottom of one side of the mountain. And he looks at the two, and he says, the two lads, he said, "I'll be back. Expect me back. I and the son will go, and we'll come again and worship for you." And so as they begin to take their journey up one side of the mountain, what's not, this is just my imagination, this is what I think happened. There was an old ram on the other side of the mountain. God had prepared that ram. Much like the Bible says, he prepared a whale to swallow Jonah. And he prepared the worm, and he prepared the gourd, and he prepared all those things. Whatever you're going through, it's already been prepared. And so he had this ram that he already was going to use. And as Abraham took a step, the ram did too. And Abraham took another step, and the ram did too. Now, at any point, Abraham could have said, "Well, this is far enough. This is far enough." But if he had stopped there, he had lost his son. He said, "The place that God showed me is there. It's not here. It's not there. It is there." And when Abraham got to the place, so was the ram. When Abraham got to the place, so is the ram. And I just believe, as they come this morning, I just believe that old ram got up there, and when he peeked his head out and he saw what was going on, he decided to back out. Ooh, you ever looked at a ram's horns? They go forward real good. They don't go backwards. And when he got to the top of the mountain, what a sack. It ain't going to be me. They ain't making lamb chops out of me. He decided to back out. Now listen close. When God saw that Abraham wasn't going to back out, the ram tried to back out. And he got caught by the wood, just like Isaac was tied to the wood. And as he tried to back out, oh no, I got you now, buddy. He couldn't get out. He was bound to be the sacrifice. I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what you're going through, but you don't know what's on the other side of the mountain. You don't know what God is doing on the other side of the mountain. And if you'll just take a step, something else on the other side will take a step. And when you get to a place that is above all else, then you're going to find that God is a provider. But if you quit somewhere along the way, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. You're not ever going to find what God can provide and what God can do in your life. Well, I've been prayed for before. Take another step. Because you don't know. Let me tell you this, and I'm gone. David was anointed to be king about 22 years before he became the king. He wanted to be king, but it wasn't time. He knew the place, but it wasn't time. And he ran for his life, and time after time, he got weary with it. I just believe he said, I'm sick of this. If this is anointing and this is kingship, let me tell you, there's not ever a preacher alive that didn't talk about throwing in the towel. I ought to hear an amen up here. We all feel like it ain't worth it. Even as many years as I've been preaching, it's like I'm preaching to rams. That's all I'm preaching to, hard-headed rams. No, not in this church. And when I go other places and preach, it's all sheep here, all sheep. But he wanted to be the king, but it wasn't working out. It just wasn't working out. So he decided to align himself with King Achish, I think was his name. And Ziklag. You remember Ziklag? And he gave him a city. And he said, you can stay here, David, and all your wives and all your stuff. This is your city. David decided that I want to fight with y'all. And you know who they were going to fight? Israel. God's people. And you know who was on the other side? King Saul. The one that had the kingdom. The one that's chasing me. The one that needs to say it's time to quit. The anointing was gone from him. I'm supposed to be the king. Let's go fight him. And he got on his pony. And he rode out there toward the battle. And he's standing by the king. On his horse, ready to go, fixing to make the biggest mistake of his life. And one of the other men is riding on another horse. He said, hey, king, see that guy right there? That David guy. Yeah, you, that's him. Do you know that's the guy that killed that giant? Do you know he's the guy that killed Goliath? And are you out of your mind to let him fight with us down there against his master Saul? It may be that they get down there and reconcile their differences, and that dude turns on us. And the king said, well, I don't think he will, but never know. So he looked at David and said, buddy, I love you and I appreciate you, but go home. Go home. Don't fight this. Oh, that was some good advice. He said, go home. And when he went home, he turned and all he saw was smoke coming up out of the city. And when he got there, his wives were gone. The children were gone. His stuff was gone. And now 600 men thought of stoning him. It looked like the kingdom was gone and everything is gone. He'd lost it all. But he sat down like the prodigal son who came to himself, and he talked to himself and he said, Lord, I need help. Should I go or should I forbear? Should I go after my stuff or should I just call it quits? Is it over for me? Just let me know and I'm okay with it. He said, get on that horse and go ride one more time. And he said, thou shalt doubtlessly recover all. Now listen close. As he's over there recovering all, Saul got killed. While he's over there regaining his wives and his stuff, the things that really meant the most to him, Saul was in a battle fighting, and he died in that battle on the other side of the mountain. I'm here to tell you, you don't know what's going on the other side of your troubles. You don't know what's going on the other side of your trials. You've got to love God above. Let's sing this old song. Above all else, I must be saved. And you've got to love him above everything else. Houses and lands and relationships. It's got to be God. Above.